I'm in a small backroom meeting. You know, we got Corey Asbury and different ones in there, a bunch of my peers. The last place on earth I want to be ousted as a sellout to Hollywood. And there's this woman up at the whiteboard, and she turns around mid-sentence. She's talking about worship, looks at me and says, "Justin, I just felt the Lord say art and entertainment over your life." And I see scripts coming forth from the scriptures. I see the text of the Bible separating. There's a bass and a treble clef. You're composing music to scripture. Does that resonate with you? And I said, no, it does not. Because I was literally angry.
Did you really?
I was angry. I was like, how dare you oust me in front of all of my peers? Like, that's, you know.
You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast.
Hey, welcome everyone to today's episode. I'm your host, Matthew Lilly, here with special guest, Justin Rizzo, worship leader, artist, leader of a production company. Many of you will know who Justin is. Excited to have a conversation with him today. Before we dive in, if anyone's new, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. The Presence Pioneers podcast exists to help you experience and host the presence of God. We believe God's presence changes everything. And so we love to do interviews and Bible teachings, really about worship, prayer, missions, revival. And so if you love those topics, you found the right podcast. So hit follow or subscribe wherever you're tuning in today. If you're tracking with us, if you're a regular, thank you. Welcome back. We love and appreciate you guys. Thank you for engaging with us, commenting, liking, sharing, rating, reviewing, you know, all the things that you do to engage with us and also to help spread this podcast and share it with your friends and your communities. We really appreciate all of that. Well, Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Matthew. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, it's a huge honor. I thought before we dive in, let you introduce yourselves. I've just been asking people kind of a funny question up front and asking if they have any worship leader fail moments or just funny, weird stories from being in sort of the charismatic worship world.
Lord,
from your years of leading worship, anything come to mind? Any funny stories or fail moments that you'd be willing to share with us?
Yeah, I definitely have a lot I could share. Some of them wouldn't be appropriate for this context, but one that does come to mind is this is way back in the day where a song called The Happy Song, it was either Tim Hughes or Redmond. I think it was Hughes who wrote that song back in the day. It's like kind of a 90s song, I think. And
I remember it, yeah.
Kind of this like revival type service, you know, there's a lot of healings happening, whatever. And so we're doing The Happy Song. And there's this one part of the song where it goes to, you know, I want to shout it out. And I had this idea like mid-flight of like, man, like if I like do a hard break there musically, I think this room, you know, 1,200 people, 1,500 people in this room would just like shout. And this, you know, Bible tells there's power in the shout, right? And so yeah. I went with all my might. I called my drummer to a hard stop, the whole band to a hard stop. I want to shout it out. And you could literally hear a pin drop in the room. And so I just like, you know, super humiliated, just like, you know, I was like, we love you, Lord, whatever. We kind of did like the crash out type of thing. But, you know, you go back and watch the video, which I don't think it's out there, but I watched the video afterwards. My band's just like laughing at me like, dude, that was the worst call you've ever made in your life. So, you know, pretty humiliating. It was a good thought, but no one shouted, you know?
Yeah. Classic. I love it. That's so funny. Well, man, it's great to have you on the podcast. Thank you for sharing this story. You've been leading worship for years, written a lot of great songs. My wife and I, we used to lead your old song called Tree years ago. We used to do a college ministry. We led worship for about a year. I don't know when, 2007 or 8, something like that. But we used to sing that song.
Yeah.
And really loved that song. That's probably when I first heard of you through your time at IHOP in Kansas City. I know now you're doing what's called Firelight Creative, a production company. You're making musicals and films. I know you're still doing worship and helping teach and train on that as well. And so, man, it's just so great to have you here. Just introduce yourself for a minute. Share us a little bit about your story and kind of how you got into leading worship.
Yeah, I was blessed to grow up in a pastor's home with a mom and a dad, pastor and worship leaders who really didn't just love Jesus, but they knew how to train myself, my brother, and my sister in what a walk with God looked like. Because a lot of pastors' kids have this, you know, just horrible experience of you have to perform, and mom and dad are like, don't make me look bad at church. And you have this huge argument on the way to church. Then you have to look like, you know, prim and proper as pastor's kids, you know? So they never like put that on us. They did a great job of like, this is what life in God looks like at the church, at our house. They were the same in both respects. So I'm so grateful to have grown up in a home like that. Used to really struggle with thinking I didn't really have a testimony because, you know, I travel with different speakers and, you know, night one of this conference, I would travel with this one guy who, you know, his whole testimony was like drugs and sex and all those horrible things. And then he's, you know, had this like deliverance session in his early 20s and he's followed Jesus ever since. And his whole testimony is the sermon that people get saved or delivered afterwards. And then night two of this conference, you know, I get up, homeschool kid, pastor's kid from upstate New York. I sinned a whole lot, but my sins don't really preach that well. Like, you don't want to know my sins. They weren't like drugs and all kind of stuff. And yeah. I've loved Jesus since the time I was seven when I gave my life to him. And so, but the Lord kind of, you know, even did a work on my heart. I guess it was like 15 years ago now of like, it doesn't make you better or worse than anybody, but you do have a testimony, you know, because I really struggle. Like, man, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Mine's kind of lame. And he's like, no, it's not. Like, that's a beautiful testimony. So some of y'all even listening to this or watching this are probably like, maybe in that same boat, but you do have a testimony and it's beautiful unto the Lord. And yeah. When I was 16, a man by the name of Bob Sorge, which I'm sure, Matthew, you know him and a lot of your listeners will know him. Amazing yeah. author. He was at our church in upstate New York in Buffalo, and he had already lost his voice, which if you don't know Bob Sorge, check out his books.
Oh, yeah.
But he lost his voice probably, what, 40 years ago now, maybe? So he can like whisper an hour a day. And so he writes to you on a notepad. And so he was at my parents' church. He whispered. He's itinerant. He travels and he, you know, whispers on this microphone. It's the most captivated congregation you'll ever see in your life. So 2002, I'm 16, a junior in high school. He's at our church. He whispers at my dad's church his sermon. And then he's writing on a notepad to me at my parents' kitchen table afterwards. Have you ever heard of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City? And I had not. This is in 2001, 2002. I was like, nope. And it's like, well, they do 24/7 worship and prayer. And honestly, Matthew, I wasn't like head over heels for that idea. I had no biblical concept, no grid. I love worship, love prayer. But he's like, you should just check it out. I'm like, nah, I don't know. I'm not sure, Bob. He's like, just check it out. So senior year of high school, next year, 2003, I drive down with my youth pastor and a couple of buddies from the youth group. And I felt the Lord invite me to come to Kansas City, to the House of Prayer for a season. I thought I'd be here for 6 months and would end up spending 15 years on full-time staff. And we left full-time staff 6 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. So what have you been doing since then? What have you been doing the last 6 years?
Yeah. So a lot of the same things. You know, our mission and our vision as a family is to see the Great Commission empowered through worship, discipleship, and the creative arts. And yeah. that mission has not changed. And so we communicated with our team of partners and our, you know, our subscribers and our people who follow us. And it said, hey, we're leaving this staff position at the House of Prayer, but it's going to look exactly the same. Prayer is going to undergird what we do. We're going to craft worship songs rich in theology for the church to sing. We're going to continue discipling young adults, both online and in person when I travel. And then we're also going to continue our production company. And the whole production company thing is only about 16 years old. The other things have been in my heart since I was like seven, you know, discipleship and worship and prayer. But about 16 years ago, the Lord kind of, it's a long story, but you know, we can go there if you want to, but I'll see what you want to do. Kind of sideswiped me into this production company. And so we're continuing to do truth-centered art, musicals, films on screens and stages. We produced several musicals, won some awards with them, some films, won some awards. And so just kind of following the Lord in that. So largely the same is kind of what we've been doing over the past 6 years.
So cool. I would love to get into some of the creativity and the production and hear some of what you're doing. But before we do that, I mean, I know kind of elephant in the room is that, you know, IHOP Kansas City went through this major scandal over the last couple of years. It sounds like you stepped down 6 years ago. So yeah. you were not involved at the time everything went down with, you know, the exposing of Mike Bickle and some of the horrible things that were going on there. But I mean, how are you, as much as you feel comfortable sharing, like yeah. how are you reflecting on your time there? Like, what did God do in you during that time? What, you know, kind of what lessons did you learn?
Yeah, man.
Because you were leading worship. I mean, how many hours a week were you leading worship in the prayer room?
Yeah, so full-time staff at IHOP is 50 hours, and you do 25 of those hours as we call service hours. So it can be in the janitorial department, in the university, in the business office, or whatever. So all my service hours, we're doing sets in the prayer room. So my early years, I would do up to 24 live hours, leading two teams at one time. I was on three teams at one point. When you're 18, 19, 20, you know, you can do crazy stuff. There's no spouse, no kids, no nothing. And for the most part, that kind of probably keeps you out of trouble. You know, like you're going to give yourself to something. It's going to be gaming or, you know, whatever. And so did that for the first couple of years. Then when I met my wife, you know, we brought
more. So you're leading like 24 hours a week of live worship sets.
Yeah.
Just to be clear. Go ahead.
For the first 4 or 5 years. And then the last 10 years, it was more reserved, just 12 hours a week. I had one team and I would lead that. So there's 25 service hours of the 50. Then the other 25 were prayer room hours where you just sat in the room and you would be studying whatever you wanted. There was no one gave you a plan. You'd study theology. You'd have, you know, personal meditation time. You'd be preparing and studying, chewing on a passage of scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. That you're going to go sing about at 12 p.m. on your 12 p.m. set with your team. So you'd study that thing from, you know, 8 to 10 in the morning for 2 hours. But, you know, like many churches, and I coach a lot of worship leaders, and unfortunately, this is really, really true. You know, your 50-hour work week, which obviously normal, quote-unquote normal, is 40.
Sure.
IHOP never budged on that. It was always 50. There's a variety of reasons for that. Some that I agreed with, some that I didn't agree with, especially when you get married and have kids. But really, it turned into easily, when you have a 24/7 prayer furnace led by worship teams, like you're not going to put on like Spotify for an hour or two, like you are filling it up, and not just with like one person at the piano, we're talking that like full teams. There was a high demand, like full teams is what they wanted, right? So you'd easily end up doing 60, 70, 80, 90 hour weeks. You know, again, there's beauty. There was some beauty in that. And obviously there's some massive, you know, just horrible things that happen in that type of context that happen mentally and spiritually and physically. You're just like, what am I doing? And it's so unique because it's all tied up in Jesus. You're not like, you know, an engineer being a workaholic, making overtime, you know, to fund your awesome vacation that summer. You're not getting paid anymore. I mean, IHOP didn't pay. Like, so you raised your own report. They gave like stipends. Mm-hmm. You know, which was not a lot each month. So anyway, I'm rambling, but yeah, there's a lot I could say about the IHOP season.
Sure.
And we'll, you know, dive into it probably at some point as I've kind of been, you know, talking to some experts, my wife and I, and just talking to different people and healing ourselves. So much good happened during our time there. But then there were other things that were just really, really challenging during our time there. Yeah. And then the last 2 years, obviously, you know, reflecting, you know, you're trying to keep what happened good in the forefront of your mind. But then the last 2 years has just been, you know, really, really challenging in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah, it's been a huge mess, to say the least. Yeah. Yeah, well, I at times tuned in to the IHOP live stream when it was going and you would be leading worship and enjoyed some good times with the Lord with you and the teams that were going on. But man, doing that many hours, you got your 10,000 hours of worship leading in probably. Talk about, they say that like if you do something for 10,000 hours, I guess they consider you an expert or something like that.
Yeah.
I forget the terminology, but yeah, you got in your 10,000 hours leading worship for sure.
And I say that to people all the time. Like it's part of my discipleship, my coaching program for worship leaders. I say that in my marketing, in my calls with people, it's like, hey, I've led worship for over 10,000 hours. I don't say that to impress you, but more to impress upon you, I've done it wrong a lot. And if you can hire me as a coach and a mentor in worship leading, I can help you when you want to go right in that maze. You think, oh no, right is the way I need to go to the right. I'd be like, you can go to the right. But here's what happened when I went to the right. I spent, you know, 4 years and 3,000 hours going the wrong direction. Go left. It'll save you a ton of time. And so that's my heart behind it is not to tout some number, but to tout to say, like, I can really help, you know, guide and direct in that way.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, that's great, man. Well, I remember even watching some of your worship at IHOP, there was always a vein of creativity. So I know I'd love to get into that creativity. I remember choirs, you'd have interesting instruments at times that were playing with you. Your worship in particular seemed to kind of be pushing the boundaries of, or experimenting with different sounds and expressions of worship, which I always loved and appreciated. Appreciate others that do the same thing. Where did that kind of creative impulse come from for you?
Hey guys, it's Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Paid subscribers receive exclusive access to brand new bonus podcast episodes every month, along with our library of previous bonus episodes. You will also get free access to my Enjoying Prayer video course, bonus articles from our Substack newsletter, discounts on books, and more. You can become a paid subscriber today for only $5 a month or $50 a year. If you've enjoyed this free podcast, becoming a paid subscriber is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this resource and partner with Presence Pioneers Media in equipping the church in day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Click the link in the show notes or visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today.
Yeah, you know what? It was all against my will. Like,
okay,
when I got this call to the arts and entertainment industry in 2009, there was one girl who played the violin. Her name's Susanna. She's incredible. We just had her up this past, we had a Christmas show here in Kansas City, and she came up to play in that for my wife and I, and it was amazing. But all I know is I ended up in a side room at IHOP with Susanna and a girl named Catherine who played the cello and a girl named Lauren who played the viola. And somehow I'm in this room pitching to these three girls. I knew Susanna and I knew she was awesome. I felt the heart of God when she would play the violin. So I was like, dude, I, you know, and then she's like, well, these are some of my friends. They're also incredible. And so we had like three strings on the team. And I didn't grow up desiring to be this Hans Zimmer composer guy. I didn't grow up, you know, I love just classic rock worship. I'm fine with electric guitar, acoustic, bass, drums. Let's go, you know? So yeah. Never my like, yes, my dream is fulfilled. And, you know, learning to lead, you know, a little mini orchestra, it eventually grew. You know, you had like French horn and saxophone and some trumpets and more strings and percussion and all this stuff. And, you know, there was some sets where I was like literally on the fly, you know, in the talk back or panic button, it's called, you push a button on the floor and your microphone no longer goes to the house. It just goes to the in-ears, literally just telling people what to do and making it up on the fly. And then afterwards, I'd have like people tell me, dude, like that's amazing that you're just like conducting an orchestra. And I was like, no, I'm just trying to survive. You
know? Trying to get through the set.
Yeah. But as we began to touch these realms of beauty with these players, it became something that I deeply, deeply loved and began to treasure. But to get into it, it wasn't this great plan. And that's how the Lord works so many times now in my life, looking back, it's like, so many times it's not your grandiose plan. It's an ear tuned to God. And sometimes it's not even go to a side room and meet with some violin players or string players. I just like ended up there, you know? And so that's kind of how we got into that.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So you said something happened in 2009.
Yeah.
You said God called you into something. Yeah. What was that?
Yeah. April 2009, I'm sitting in a church service. I just led worship, sitting on the front row, taking notes. This person's out there preaching on Jesus or humility or something like that. And out of nowhere, this it was not an audible voice, but I felt the rumble of God's voice so clear in my spirit. As a simple phrase, it said art and entertainment. And I begin like going back and forth in my mind. I wasn't, you know, I was trying to take notes in this sermon, but I'm like, no, definitely no. It comes again, musicals, films, Hollywood, arts, entertainment. And I begin to get a bit more aggressive in my prayer dialogue, like, no, I do biblical things like worship, discipleship, prayer. I don't do Hollywood for Jesus. I had thrown all of them out with the bathwater. I was like, y'all are weird. All you guys want is fame and fortune. I'm a true worshiper. You know, I don't care about paying, you know, super prideful and stupid and whatever. And then the voice stopped. And I kind of had this like, that's right. No means no. And I said, no, I ain't doing that. So long story short, I tell my wife that night, I tell no one else. I said, hey, don't tell anybody, but God called me to this. But I told him, no, so I think we're good. Because at that time, all I could see was worship leading in the house of God was like up here, and Hollywood was definitely down here, right? So 6 months later, I'm in a small backroom meeting. You know, we got Corey Asbury and different ones in there, a bunch of my peers. The last place on earth I want to be ousted as a sellout to Hollywood. And there's this woman up at the whiteboard, and she turns around mid-sentence. She's talking about worship, turns around mid-sentence, looks at me and says, "Justin, I just felt the Lord say arts and entertainment over your life." And I see scripts coming forth from the scriptures. I see the text of the Bible separating. There's a bass and a treble clef. You're composing these into scripture. Does that resonate with you? And I said, no, it does not. Because I was literally angry.
Did you really?
I was angry. I was like, how dare you oust me in front of all of my peers? Like that's, you know, I went to her afterwards and I did lie. I apologized for lying. I said, "Hey, that was the Lord. You confirmed something I felt 6 months earlier, really not happy." So I went back to, you know, my house, talked to my wife, and not thrilled. But so kind of like gritting my teeth, we said, "We're going to start praying. When you don't know what to do, start praying. God tells you to do something, start praying." And, you know, spiritual principle that's so valuable. Definitely jot this down. If you're listening to this, this will change your life. What you pray for, you will fall in love with. And that's why they say couples who pray together, stay together. If you and your family get a compassion child from, you know, Mozambique or Uganda or wherever it is, like, and you guys pray and you give them your money, your heart treasure through prayer, and your money, your valuable treasures through money, you're going to fall in love with that nation, with those people. You're going to want to take a missions trip there. You want to give them more money, help them build an orphanage. It's just a spiritual principle. And so every Thursday, we took our Thursday 6 to 8 a.m. set. We led it every single Thursday. We had been praying for college campuses. I walked in the next week. I said, "We're going to start praying for Hollywood." And they're like, "What? Why?" I was like, "Because I think I'm called to it." They're like, "Really? That's news to us." And I'm like, "Shut up. Let's just pray, you know?" So we did. And we prayed every single Thursday from 6 to 8 a.m. for probably like 4 or 5 years. We would look up Disney executives, Paramount Picture executives, and pray for them by name. And you have to understand, this is like pre-Dallas Jenkins. This is like pre-Chosen. This is like, you know, God's Not Dead 27 had just come out. You know, like, that was a joke. But anyway, that's a long story of kind of how the Lord called us into that. And then we began writing our first show that next year. And it's just been off to the races ever since.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that you said no.
Yeah.
When she gave you the prophetic word. No, I'm not going to do it. Good luck saying no to God, by the way. You know,
seriously, like, seriously.
That doesn't work very well. That's so cool. I love it. What would you say? I think there's probably some, I know there's some worship leaders tune in and they want to be more creative. They want to push the envelope. They might would love to have a French horn in worship or at least something that's different.
Yeah.
But some of them feel limited by their context. Maybe the pastors or whoever doesn't want them to, you know, kind of veer off the kind of, you know, popular CCLI songs or whatever. What would you say to worship pastors, worship leaders who want to do something more creative or experimental, but they feel kind of boxed in whatever context they're in?
Yeah, I think two things. One, get a partner in crime. Get someone who will help you, who will back you up. You guys can do it together. Don't go in alone. But then the second thing I would say is be really open and honest with your superiors about what you feel in your heart as a creative. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to try not to get on my soapbox here, but so many times the church, specifically in America, we want to box it in to, like you said, CCLI top 100, rock bands, you know, maybe a violin at Christmas, you know, a choir at Christmas only, you know, and we've just limited the worship expression to be so narrow focused. The Bible talks a lot about horns and stringed instruments and all these types of things. And so I think there's an expression of God's heart that much of the church has just kind of, you know, let go. Now there are pockets of it that are beautiful, that are epic, that are amazing. But you have to have clarity within your soul of what you are vying for, you know, from your pastor. If it's just like, "Hey, I want to have like a French horn and a trumpet," and you just say that, probably everyone will be like, "Heck no. Like, what are you talking about? We're not buying a second drum cage. Have you heard a trumpet? How hard it is to have that thing not be dominant in the mix, you know, whatever it is." But if you go in more so saying, hey, I've been on a journey, I heard some guy in a podcast, or I read a book, or whatever it is, and it stirred my heart to realize I think there are other expressions to worship God, to even more well round the beauty of music and to glorify the beauty of who God is, I want to explore that. It might look like this. It might look like this. It might look like this. Do I have the freedom to pursue that? And we can have pastoral conversations along the way. And I'll just say this, I took a beating at my former place of employment for pursuing these types of things. Like it was not a like, oh, we love Justin, how creative he is. You know, having those types of things. We had rappers at different times. Like, and it was, was really, really intense. And so the pushback is probably going to happen from someone, most likely.
Sure.
So that's why I said have a partner in crime. You can talk to, bounce ideas off of, go to meetings together. But we need to pursue a greater expression, in my opinion, in the church. And I'm not saying we have to have a choir every week or have to have a full orchestra or anything like that. But, you know, one thing I'll even say, because a lot of people have relegated those things to quote unquote old people. But here's what I'm saying, dude, high schools in America, the band geeks, the theater geeks, like these are like Gen Z kids obsessed with musicals. These are Gen Z kids obsessed with the oboe, you know, like, and it's like, why is there no place for them? We're saying, hey, you can learn to sing. That's basically the only option we have. And I'm not saying every youth group in America has to have an orchestra, but let's open up our minds a little bit to have a bit more of a freedom of creative expression.
Yeah, I love that. So good. I want to keep going on this. We are going to have to continue some of this in part two. And so we're going to have a second part of this interview available to people for our paid subscribers. But Justin, I want to give you a few more minutes here before we shift over to part two. Share about your production company. Just share about your worship leading resources. I just want to give you a minute. Anything that people could maybe engage with you and your ministry and your music. Yeah. How can people connect with you and what have you got going on?
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said at the top, you know, my wife and I's vision is to see the Great Commission empowered through worship, discipleship, and the creative arts. And so on the worship side of things, you know, it's every DSP, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to music, our music is out there. You can check that out. And then on the discipleship side of things, justinrizzotraining.com. I have a variety of different training programs out there. I am proud to say that I have the only, to my knowledge, I have the only training program. It's my signature course called the Worship Leader Academy. I have maybe like a dozen or 20 different sessions or different courses, but the one called the Worship Leader Academy is the only worship leader coaching program out there that truly offers unlimited one-on-one coaching. Every other coaching program out there say, hey, join a group coach, or you can do, you know, with these 20 people once a month on Zoom. And when I started this 7 years ago, I was like, no. I think the way someone's discipled is having access to talk to someone. So I have a coaching app that I use. Lets people just push a button. It goes right to my phone. I respond to every single one of my clients within 24 to 48 hours myself personally. So I'm talking to people all over the world. I'm not teaching them. There are 50 teachings you get in the academy on a variety of different topics, but there are people who, hey, their band practice went horrible. They're driving home and they literally push the button on their phone and they just vent. And they say, I don't know if I can do this anymore. My drummer is so flaky. My electric guitarist is, you know, was caught in sin again. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of fed up. And that's the message, you know? And so I respond and, you know, get in the trenches with them. So justinrizzotraining.com would be a great place to go. Look at the teachings, the trainings. Would love to work with you. And then the third piece of what we do and what our mission is the creative arts. And that's through screens and stages. And so musicals are kind of the thrust of what we do. So we've written and produced, I think we're up to 5 original musicals right now. And we've done them on stages and, you know, it's been incredible. When we left IHOP 6 years ago, we felt this impression from the Lord to do 3 movies in 3 years. And so we turned 3 of our musicals into movies. And that was such a fun process, as well as terrifying. I won't get into all of this, but probably the biggest thing it's taught me as a creative is the journey of faith required to be a creative. You know, I think I grew up with the idea of like, man, I just need to like be in peace and quiet in a cabin in the woods, and I'll learn to paint like Van Gogh, or I'll learn to sing like Whitney, or I'll learn to do that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
When in actuality, that stuff happens in community, and faith without works is dead. And so when we set out to do these three movies, you know, writing, directing, producing, editing, casting a film is easy. You just hire people way smarter than you and way better than you, right? Funding a film, on the other hand, was one of the most intense things my wife and I ever did. You know, our first film was $65,000. We're raising tax deductible donations to pay that thing off. We're on set shooting it 4 years ago. Someone texts us and says, hey, we want to give $5,000. And I'm weeping, you know, first film's paid off. So my faith grew. Second film 3 years ago, $170,000. And we're 3 weeks out from shooting it, and we have $70,000 raised. We're $100,000 short. I'm up here in this room, in my writing room, in my office, in my house, being like, what in the God's name am I doing? I just had the worst fundraising meeting of my life. I did a whole podcast on it, the Rizcast podcast. I forget which number episode it is, but worst fundraising meeting ever. This guy was just incredibly obnoxious, incredibly rude. Had just had that happen. Up in my room, get a random email from a guy I don't really know. And he says, hey, we want to give you $100,000 to finish your movie. Second movie produced. Third film 2 years ago, $250,000. And the Lord brought in the funds. It's a long story. I won't share it today. But so you could check out all those at Firelight. It's one word, fire and light. Firelight CP, Creative Productions. FirelightCP.com. Hop on our email list. You can see trailers of all of our movies on that website. I have some different blogs I've written on creativity. But we are, with the production company, last thing I'll say is we are pursuing some things right now in faith that are way beyond our means and way beyond what we've ever done before. And a mentor of mine, I was talking to him on the phone a couple of weeks ago. I was driving to lead worship at a church, and we had a call, and I said, man, it just seems so just crazy, this idea, and so illogical. And he said back to me, he's an older gentleman, he's been around, very seasoned in the Lord. And he said, well, Justin, I feel like the Lord's asking me to do stuff. If it seems illogical, it's probably God. Maybe you're not sure if it's the Lord asking you to do it. You just have this crazy idea to do X, Y, Z with your music or your, you know, production company or whatever field you're in, a business or entrepreneurship or creativity. And you're like, man, maybe that illogical, crazy idea that I could never fulfill is God. And so we're just moving forward with that. Has some amazing things that we're pursuing, and we'll see what the Lord does.
Yeah, that's a good word. Good note to end on. For part one here, Justin, this has been amazing. I've got more questions. So we've got a little bit more time. So we're going to do a part two. If you guys are not paid subscribers, we would love for you to become paid subscribers. We do that through Substack, and then you get access to bonus episodes. You get articles, discounts on books, different kinds of bonus content. And it's very cheap, but it allows us to produce this podcast and release free resources for you guys to help you. And so check out the link down in the show notes or down in the description, and you can subscribe and check out part two. Thank you, Justin. This has been awesome.
Thank you.